Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome in. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is a Thursday morning. We're very excited. Tonight is our bourbon spring fling event, and it's filling up, I'll have to tell you that. So if there are still a few tickets available. If you're interested in going, we'd love to have you out there tonight. 5:30 or so, we're going to meet out at the Clayton Winehouse and just hang out for a little while. Lots of good bourbon, some food, some wine. If you don't have good taste and you don't like bourbon, we'll have options for you. I'm just kidding, obviously. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think you'll be surprised at all the people that are going to be there. Besides me and Kim and Carl Middleman, there may be some other folks from here at the radio station who show up at the last minute.
Do you know something that I don't know?
I just found out yesterday some more folks from down the hall, some of the other radio stations in the group might show up. And
nice.
That's going to be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I get to meet Carl's wife tonight.
Oh, you've not met Nicole?
And she gets to meet you.
I've not met Nicole.
It's awesome. Takes hell of a woman to put up with Carl Middleman. Can I just tell you that?
She looks forward to it.
I'm going to ask her about his Star Wars collection.
I think she signed a non-disclosure agreement, didn't she, Carl? She's not allowed to talk about that. Or it's either that or she really doesn't want to talk about it because it occupies a big chunk of her house.
Does she have strong opinions about the collection?
Yes, she keeps threatening to sell it.
Oh.
See, I...
And my child says, that is my inheritance.
That's so predictable. My wife is the same way, Carl. She wants to sell my stuff. My good stuff I've spent all these years collecting.
When you say good stuff, what do you mean?
She would back a dumpster up to the house and throw it all away.
But good is very subjective.
I know.
What kind of stuff are we talking about?
It's my good. My good. Antiques, like antique radios and things like that. Things of value.
He has a collection.
Yeah, you know, we were told in the 90s that our Beanie Babies would have value, and that was a lie. Yeah. I used to collect those things.
I know. And my wife used to collect the holiday Barbies. She had kept them in the box.
Now,
and
when our oldest worth money.
But wait, what do you mean holiday Barbies? Like a Christmas Barbie?
Yeah,
and
like
an
a
Easter
Barbie
Barbies?
In a Christmas dress. And they were all, they've been, you keep them in the container and pristine. And after a while, we learned they really weren't worth anything. We finally just ripped the boxes open and let the kids play with them.
I never really was into Barbies.
Well, I wasn't either. I get your point. Anyway, I hope everybody's having a great day. Did you see this is one of the best things I've seen in a while. Yesterday, somebody delivered brownies to many of the Republican state legislators in Jeff City with a little note attached to them. Here's a brownie. Looks really good. Guess what? It's got a scoop of dog poop in it.
Oh. Seriously?
That's what
did they know anything about who dropped
said.
It off?
Yeah, we know exactly who did it. It's not a surprise. It just tells them. I know this looks delicious. It's got lots of good chocolate. I'm paraphrasing here. It's got lots of good chocolate, gooey, good stuff in it. But it's also got some dog poop, which just proves when you choose not to eat this, a program that sounds good can still have bad stuff in it, and you shouldn't have anything to do with it. The point was not to vote for this education bill that's pending down in Jeff City. There are a lot of people that are dead set against it, and to make their point, they delivered brownies that have a little bit of dog poop in them. Now, you're probably not going to eat it. Why would you pass this bill is their point. I thought it was a beautiful point.
I mean, that is creative.
Isn't that a biohazard?
I don't know. Some of the legislators are angry about it, but
I don't think there was actually poop in there, to be honest. I wouldn't test it out, but I don't believe
I don't
poop.
I don't think there was I don't think
no one would sit there and bake that in their oven and then have that smell permeating through their house.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
Did you see the movie The Help?
I did, yes, but that's a movie, and they would not do that in real life.
Based on a true story.
The person who did it didn't say one way or the other. She just said that she baked brownies and delivered them to the house. So they're probably not dog poop in there, but the point is a valid one.
Right,
you're not
going to
eat it because you don't know.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to eat it because it's got a little bit of something bad in it, you shouldn't pass this education bill either. Okay, I'm just saying. So I thought it was pretty brilliant on her part, but we'll talk more about that coming up here just a little later. We're going to talk to one of the original candidates, one of the OGs running in CD3 this morning. There are a lot of people in the race now, but for the last few years, there's really only been one opponent who's run in the primary against Blaine Lutkemeyer, and he's in it again this year. And he was already running before Blaine decided to retire, and everybody else jumped into the race. We'll talk to Brandon Wilkinson at about 6:20 as well. Lots of good stuff for you this morning a little later. Let's get to the shortlist, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy, got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
Did you know Joe Biden had a relative that got shot down over Haiti? No, I don't think it was Haiti, but it was somewhere there were cannibals. I mean, what an amazing story that he just makes up every single day.
They don't want to hear about the people who are suffering with their open borders. They don't want to hear about the people who are dying. They don't want to hear about the terrorists coming into this country.
Yeah, Ted Cruz, pretty angry over what happened yesterday because they had a chance to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, and for the first time ever, the Senate refused to hold the hearing. It's never happened before.
Are these planes safe?
Right now, I would not. You know, from what I've seen, the airplanes are not being built per spec and per requirement.
Yeah, Sam Salapour, who you're hearing from there, did not kill himself in the instance that he ends up dead today. That's the latest whistleblower from Boeing, and that was Josh Hawley asking him about safety concerns that he had raised over the last few years.
St. Louis leaders are preparing for a worst-case scenario when it comes to money. A pending bill in Jefferson City could eat away at tax funding, and the city would be left with a big budget hole.
Woo, baby! They're a little worried. Channel 4 covering that story this morning. They're worried for two reasons. They're worried about the bill in Jeff City that would say if you didn't live in the city, you didn't have to pay the earnings tax, right? And they're also worried about the lawsuit that's working its way through that Kim is so enthused about that would say if you worked in the city during COVID times and your company made you work from home, which happened to be outside of the city, you should be able to get that money refunded to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the city used to do that. And then they randomly changed the rules when they realized, wait a minute, if everybody's working from home, this is going to cost us too much money. So we can't allow that to happen. So they just made a rule change, which doesn't make any sense. Not going to hold up in court. That case is tied up in the appeals court right now, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah, but this whole thing with the city now threatening, saying our city employees aren't going to get their 3% raise if lawmakers pass this bill. That's ridiculous. Do you know how much money you have just received from the federal government? You're telling me you can't allocate any of that to pay your city employees a salary? They are basically using that as I was going to say bait, but like a reason to get this thing to die in the Senate.
Right.
This bill. And then that's really what bothers me, because now their own employees are the ones who are going to be hurting from this.
Well, you're right. The thing about it is, for years, the city was warned about this problem. The city was like, you need to reconsider this earnings tax because it's becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger chunk of your earnings every year, right? It's the only thing they've got that's kind of guaranteed. A lot of people work in the city. Fewer and fewer people live in the city, but they've got this tax that you got to pay if you drive your car across city limits and come to a job in the city, even if you don't live here. And at one point, it was about a third of the city budget, right? That's bad enough. Yeah. They would have lost a third. Now it's more than that, right? Because corporations have left, businesses have left, their revenue's down, and they keep doing frivolous spending and wasting money that's handed to them by the federal government in giveaway programs. And then suddenly they don't have enough money to give raises to their own employees. And when they can't do that, guess whose fault it is? It's somebody else's fault who might be trying to restrict their money printing press. Right?
Yeah.
You are a money source for them. That's all you are. And if there's a threat to take that away, government sees that as a real life or death situation.
Yep.
They've got to have your money to survive. They spend your money, not theirs.
Yep. You don't even live in the city, but somehow you should be forced to pay that tax. It makes no sense.
I do believe it'll go. It'll be the court or somebody will throw it out at some point. And if and when that happens, the city's going to be screaming poor. And I don't know what they're going to do about it. They've gone back to the well too many times. I just don't know what they're going to do about it. You can't get blood out of a turnip. So they're going to face a serious challenge there economically if and when this happens. Coming up, we've also got Tom Ackerman a little later today. I'm looking forward to that because we have not had a chance to talk to him since the passing of Whitey Herzog. He'll be in here about 6:35 or so this morning. We're going to be back right after our national anthem.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Everybody wants Boeing to succeed. We have to have Boeing succeed. We want, you know, safety in the sky. So this has to be fully vetted. We need to make sure that Boeing has a culture of safety. I'm not sure it has had one. I'm not sure the current management is up to it. That's, I think, one of the troubling reports I entered in the record was just talking about how, you know, the CEO is one place, COFO another place. Again, it just seems like a dysfunctional company, more concerned potentially about DEI. They score great in terms of FEC reports, in terms of accomplishing other DEI and ESG goals. They don't score well in terms of their own quality goals that they set. So again, it's just very troubling.
Yeah, Senator Ron Johnson, if you didn't recognize his voice there, talking about the problem that they seem to be having at Boeing these days. And that, of course, stemmed from the whistleblower testimony yesterday that we played a little bit of earlier. Listen to cut number 7. This is whistleblower Sam Salapour.
I want to make clear that I have raised these issues over 3 years. I was ignored. I was told not to create delays. I was told, frankly, to shut up. At one point, Boeing management got sick of me and raising these issues and moved me out of the 787 program into this 777 program.
Yep. He raised Cain and got moved around. Imagine that.
Not surprising. I bet that happens at so many places. People have concerns and they're basically like, shh, don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, as a Flyer, I would just like to really feel more comfortable about this whole thing. You know, I know that I know how safe commercial aviation is. I do. We don't have planes falling out of the sky. But we have had an increase in incidents, right? You can't deny that. It's like saying about the shot. Yeah, we've had an increase in 30-year-olds dropping dead on athletic fields. It's obviously happening. We need to talk about why. These are important issues. We'll get to Kim on a Whim coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
Governor Ron DeSantis is at it again. You go, Ron DeSantis. He just signed a new bill into law. Today's Thursday, right? Yesterday,
it is, yeah.
Wednesday. All right. It's a new Florida law that mandates kindergartners through high school seniors, they have to learn about the dangers of communism.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess it was a thing in Florida, according to this one report that I saw, where I believe they said seventh graders had to learn about communism, and then there had to be some sort of teaching in it in the high school curriculum, but that was essentially it. So this, by I mean, this absolutely is expanding how many kids are going to learn about this. But it also does a few other things. But I want you to first hear from the senator in Florida who sponsored the bill.
So what this bill does is it takes the truth. It takes the reality of what is going on with communism and its effect on communities, countries, and populations, the deaths that it causes, and it makes it a very real thing to our youth. We have to teach them. Remember, what we teach our children today will be the reality of this nation tomorrow.
You know, you'd think you wouldn't have to teach kids that communism is not a good thing. But nowadays, with people getting their information from TikTok and Instagram and feeling really empathetic for people like Osama bin Laden, you have to. You have to seriously weave this into the curriculum. So I think this is a fantastic idea. I just think Ron DeSantis kills it as governor.
Isn't it a shame that they aren't already taught that? That you would have to dictate that that be in history? I mean, have they studied, do they not study the Marxist revolution in Russia or what's gone on in China or any other country in the world where socialism and communism ultimately fail and why? Why do we have to recreate the wheel all the time? I don't get this.
I'm trying to remember what I learned in history. It's funny because when I was in high school, I feel like I didn't really care about learning about history, and I'm sad about that because now I do. But I can't remember a lot of what I learned because I didn't care.
Then shame on the teachers who didn't make you care about it. I mean, everybody had that. I think if you're lucky, you had that teacher in high school that you remember specifically figured out a way to educate you, not just present you the materials and test you on it, but educate you on these issues. I know my wife had a famous history, favorite history teacher who did these things for her, and those lessons have stuck with her today. And we should all have had that. So shame on the teachers that weren't already teaching this. I don't care if it's in the curriculum or not. This is communism. This is what it means. Mm-hmm. It's okay to point out the fact that this is capitalism and this is what it means. This is a superior system because you're rewarded for your efforts.
The problem is how many teachers genuinely would feel like capitalism is superior these days. I mean, really, you have to ask yourself that question. I think so many people, including teachers these days, feel like that is not what's best for America or any country for that. I mean, not just America.
Maybe.
I think that they want to completely tear down what we have set up that makes us the best, strongest country in the world.
Don't learn your history, you're doomed to repeat it. I mean, this is living proof of that. Well, good again, once again, kudos to the governor in Florida. Because
yeah.
They're paying attention to these trends. And sometimes it's not enough to expect the teachers to do the right thing. You've got to put it into state law so that they can't wiggle their way out of it and try to develop curriculum around that.
Well, what worries me, though, is let's just say that the parents are able to see the curriculum that they're teaching the kids, which I don't... Is that a thing? Like, do the parents get to see all that curriculum? Because I don't remember that being available to my parents when I was in school, but maybe nowadays there's that expectation, I would hope.
If they would have gone and asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
So when we spoke, when I spoke at Grace Church, I asked that question. How many, like 5 years ago, I think it's to a lesser degree still true, but maybe people are more aware. Name me one member on your local school board.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People don't know. Name me one member who's in your local township political organization. People don't know, but these are the people that are making the decisions that affect your life every day. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be on the ballot on the curriculum issues, transparency when it comes to curriculum. So no, people aren't asking the right questions. I agree.
But even if it is in the curriculum, essentially, the parents could be given this documentation saying, yep, this is what we're planning to cover this particular semester. But do we really know that the teacher's actually teaching that? Maybe they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's, covering their tracks to say, yeah, we're going to cover it, wink and a nod. And then when push comes to shove and they're doing it, they skate right over that and they say what they want. And some of these kids might be too young where they don't even think to go tell their parents, Mom, Dad, listen what I learned in school, and that goes against what we were initially told.
I am not picking on teachers here. You have a hard job. I get that. But like every other profession, you have people that are really good at their jobs and people who aren't really good at their jobs. And mm-hmm. and one of the problems with a system where your pay is not based on merit, but rather just years in the job... And you and I both experienced this in our previous profession, where in many times unions are involved. People get lazy because they're getting the same pay as the person who's busting their ass, and they don't have to work hard at it. So I do think there are things like that that need to be policed. And sometimes you have to. You can't make a horse drink. You can lead it to water, but you can't make it drink. I mean, there's just no, I don't know how you do that. But if it's in the curriculum, this is what you have to teach. This is what the test is at the end of the semester.
Mm-hmm.
You can force them into that path.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're doing in Florida.
Yep. And as part of this legislation, rather, they want to create a museum in Florida on the history of communism. And the senator who sponsored this bill says it prepares students to withstand indoctrination on communism at colleges and universities. My gosh, that is crucial. Mm-hmm. Because even if you get through high school not feeling like communism is the best thing since sliced bread, we all know when you go to college nowadays, you're probably going to get exposed to that.
The only people who would endorse something like that are low performers. They're the only people that might benefit from everybody getting the exact same pay and being told what job you're going to do. Because that's what communism is. Except in communism, the state owns everything. In socialism, they don't, but they control everything. There's very little difference between the two.
Yeah.
And American children need to be taught that at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents have abdicated that responsibility to the schools, and now they've paid the price the last 40 years.
Yep. Yep. But like you said, Mark, I mean, shout out to all the teachers. That would be an incredibly hard job. We just watched a video yesterday about some student slapping a teacher in the face
twice. North Carolina.
I mean, it's wild. Google that if you haven't seen it. I thank you for all that you do. I'm sorry for all the crap that I know you deal with on a daily basis and how districts have your hands tied behind your back. You can't do anything. So, yeah, I mean, hats off to all these teachers who are doing their absolute best in a situation that they're in right now where it's not good.
We've built this system.
Yep.
And people get mad at me when I say we should bring back corporal punishment. They're like, they're gap-jawed. I don't want your teacher touching my child. Well, you won't do it, so somebody's got to do it to get their attention so they don't think they can get away with slapping a teacher in a classroom. Just amazing.
I mean, yeah, that kid should have been dragged down to the principal's office.
I know.
And suspended.
I would have been fired. I would have just stood up and jacked that kid's jaw off. So, I mean, he smacked the crap out of this teacher, and she just looked at him, and he stepped back, and he stepped in turn, and he smacked her again.
And mouthed off to her while he was doing this. In front of the class, by the way, that was mocking the whole situation, like laughing at the teacher while she was being slapped in the face.
Would not have been a good profession for me, for sure. Mm. All right, let's get to a quick break here. If you haven't heard about what happened to a particular professional athlete yesterday, he's been banned from his sport. We will talk about Missouri's own Jontay Porter when we get back in just a minute. Well, this is a sad story, to be honest with you, about Jontay Porter. He's now been banned from the National Basketball Association for life. This is a kid that played at Mizzou from 2017 to 2019. His brother Michael Porter was the more highly touted player of the two. Michael Porter's thriving in the NBA, by the way. His brother was not a big influence. I mean, he wasn't a major player in the NBA. He was a bench player. I think he was averaging 4 points a game for the Raptors. But here's the problem with major league sports embracing gambling. For many years, it was a no-no. You couldn't do it. They didn't want it anywhere near the sport because it's tempting, right? And now you can go to most major league venues, and there's a gambling window you can walk up to. I mean, I've griped about this because Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame because of something he did 40 years ago. Gambling is an addiction. It's a problem. The rules are pretty clear. They don't want gambling after the Chicago situation back in the 20s or 30s. They don't want gambling to influence the integrity of the sport. I get that. So they have very strict rules. Fans can come to the games. There are gambling windows everywhere. They embrace all of these gambling apps, and I mean, it's just everywhere. It's pervasive. You hear the ads on this radio station for it all the time. But the players are not allowed to bet because they could do things like Jontay Porter is accused of doing here. In an internal investigation, the NBA discovered that before a game on March 20th, Porter gave information to a bettor regarding his health status. After getting the inside information, the bettor went to an online sports book and bet that Porter would not reach his stat line in the parlay. So, in other words, he bet that Porter would not hit his average of 4.7 points a game in this game on any particular night. Once the game started, Michael Porter took himself out of the game, claiming he was sick, and therefore he did not reach the numbers that he would have required on a normal night. And Porter's move would have won the bettor $1.1 million. But the bettor's account was frozen due to suspicious actions, and an investigation ensued. And there were other cases where there were hundreds of thousands of dollars bet on Jontay Porter's performance, even though Jontay Porter is not a major player in the NBA. He's nowhere near even his own brother Michael Porter or a Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, or someone like that who's active in the NBA right now. He's not made that kind of impact on the game. So when people were putting heavy bets on him, it caught the attention of the NBA because it didn't make any sense in these sports books. They also discovered that he used an associate's online betting account to place 13 bets on various league games. So they have banned him for life on this. I don't know if there's any more criminal activity that he might face or not. I don't know if that allegation has come forward.
I mean, I think they're using him as an example to stress how seriously they take this. I mean, we were talking in the commercial break about Shohei Ohtani, right? And his interpreter and what's going on with all of that. And Ohtani's like, oh, I didn't know anything about this.
Whatever.
Really?
Came out of your bank account.
You didn't know anything about it?
Yeah. He's not. If he gets away with that, it damages the integrity of baseball just because he's a big star that signed a $700 million contract.
I mean, that would be huge if he was, say, banned because of this.
Oh, yeah. There have to be some sanctions for it.
Yeah,
or so other people will try to take advantage of it, I fear. We'll see. Now, Porter will probably be okay. He hadn't made a lot of money in the NBA anyway. He'll probably go to Europe, which he was free to do, not associated with the NBA. And he'll
bet over there.
He'll make millions of dollars over there. And I don't know what their betting rules are. Maybe it's easier for him over there. I just don't know. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to one of the candidates in Congressional District 3 at about 6:20. And Tom Ackerman on Whitey Herzog at 6:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.